And a notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website. The bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Absent.
Yeah. Ms. Kleinhans?
He was like, you gotta come to
play. Absent.
Aye. Yeah.
Mr. Lazarus?
Present.
Mr. Millay?
Not absent.
And Mr. Sime?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We're not back on our fighting form, are we? First up is we do have some minutes from September 19, 2022. You see the eligible members noted. And
she's not here. I'll make a motion.
I have a question.
Ah, sorry.
So on the consistency review, we did, of course, find it consistent, no problem with that. Should the minutes mention the comments we put in the letter, or does the letter stand on its own and doesn't need to talk about the letter?
It's up to you.
They're minutes, so I don't think they have to.
Yeah, they're minutes, they're not hours, as I like to say.
Yeah, but who would ever know that?
Right, correct. The letter, if you want, comments, you could say, see attached letter. Yeah.
Right, but I did put them in there.
Did you? I missed. No, I don't think it's this review, not the north one.
Because
the minor comments on the stormwater ordinance.
Oh, gosh.
Gotcha. If our practice is not to mention, let's not start.
Those minutes are consistent with the board's past practice for minutes.
That's fine. It's fine.
Right.
Let's let it go.
There were some errors in the minutes, though, right? Were they corrected, or did anyone see the view version?
This is the version 2.
All right. Yeah, I didn't look.
My right version 2.
Oh. David, I'll take your motion.
I'll make a second, then.
Roll call.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
He's going to abstain.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't care about me. Thank you. Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sime?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Next up, there is no resolutions. There's the public hearing, which is on the agenda, Kingdom Crown Veterinary Specialist Dr. Wendy Ross, 23 Blossom Hill Road, Block 303, Lot 7, applicant seeking amended preliminary and final site plan approval for two proposed building additions on an existing veterinary clinic building and expansion of the existing parking lot.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Pat Cirillo. I'm here for the applicant tonight. This is an application, as you said, for an amended preliminary and final major site plan application for the Crown Veterinary Specialist Clinic. So we're going to have two witnesses for you tonight. Dr. Wendy Ross, who's seated to my right, will testify with regard to what she does there, what the plan is for the future, a little bit about the building that she's proposing for the addition, and any questions regarding the aesthetics of that building. We will also have Mark Laskavage from Collier Engineering, who will address all of the reports from the township professionals on the application. So if we could start, we'll have Dr. Ross sworn in.
Yeah, I'm going to get everyone sworn in. I'm going to get your two witnesses sworn in. I'm going to get Mr. Barron sworn in, and I'm going to get our engineer who's participating on Zoom sworn in. So can everyone raise their right hands and Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So, Dr. Ross, are you one of the principals of the Crown Veterinary Specialist?
Yes, I am.
And Kingdom Crown LLC?
Yes.
All right. You're here today to ask this board for approval of your application for amended preliminary and final site plan, correct?
Yes.
Could you tell the board members what you do as the operation of the business right now?
Yes. Crown is a 24-hour small animal emergency and specialty facility in Hunterdon County. It's the only one in Hunterdon County. Currently, we have been in existence for 20 years. We started as a mobile surgical practice. I started 20 years ago, but we built the hospital 12 years ago in Lebanon. In that 12 years, the staff and the caseload has grown considerably. The staff has actually doubled in the last 5 years from about 50 to a few more than 100 staff members. Because of that growth, we need more space. We also want to be able to provide more services to the pet owners in this area because there isn't another specialty hospital of this sort in the area. People have to travel more than an hour to get the services that we can provide and to even have 24-hour veterinary care because the other 24-hour hospital that was nearby is now no longer 24 hours. So because of increase in staffing, increase in caseload, we need more space. There are times when we actually have to close the emergency service because we don't have space for any more pets. And so we want to be able to double the size of the ICU, we'll double the size of our triage area. We will add an MRI so that we can...
Can you just slow down?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the recording is picking you up, but Denise and I and Tom are taking notes and we are getting, like, destroyed.
I'm so sorry. Okay, where should I pick back up?
Where you're doubling the size of...
Yeah, and before you get that, did you say...
Perfect, that's where I am, too. Yeah.
And I missed one before that. Did you say there... You had another location, or there was another hospital, and it's no longer...
There was another hospital.
It's no longer 24 hours.
It's no longer 24 hours,
okay.
Right. So, yes. Sorry. I'll try to slow down. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Look at these guys.
It's public speaking in general. It's just public speaking.
I'm not even wearing a tie. But if I have to...
You have one. Always prepared.
We pay less for
that. No, it's not a clip-on.
So we will be doubling the size of our ICU, doubling the size of our triage area, increasing the size of the surgical suites. We will be adding an MRI and getting a larger CT scanner. We do currently have a small CT scanner, but we'll be getting a full-size one in the future. We currently have 11 emergency doctors manning the hospital 24 hours a day, and we have 10 specialists. We have specialties in surgery, anesthesiology, cardiology, oncology, all the ologies. surgery, anesthesia, oncology, cardiology, dermatology, critical emergency and critical care. That's my partner back there. We also have a rehab facility. We hope to be adding neurology in the spring or summer and also adding an internist soon as well. So we're trying to provide all the services that pet owners in this area need so that they don't have to travel so far. And I think enlarging the building is going to be necessary because we already have 20 doctors and we have a doctor's office with 5 desks.
Where would you say the nearest similarly sized facility would be?
Well, honestly, we are one of the smaller specialty hospitals. So we're a little less than 8,800 square feet. I mean, Red Bank is at 56,000 square feet and building a bigger building. So we're one of the smaller ones. We will be just under 16,000 square feet once we expand. Animerge is the next closest facility, but they're the ones that's no longer going to be 24 hours, and they're smaller than us. I think they're about 5,000 or 6,000 square feet currently. We're actually one of the smaller ones. There are some that are, I don't know. I'd get lost. Every time I've ever visited Red Bank, someone's had to escort me to the door.
The folks out here have to travel a distance.
At least an hour.
If your facility...
It's a Red Bank? Is that really?
Yeah. They'd either have to go to Red Bank or North Star, or they could go to Paramus.
There's one in Essex County in West Caldwell.
Yep.
A pretty big one.
AERA. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and then there's a new one near them called Eclipse. And the thing is that there are multiple specialty hospitals in New Jersey, but they tend to migrate to north or south, and we're kind of the ones in the middle. So, and most of them are corporately owned. There are only three that are still privately owned in the state, and we're one of those. The rest of them are owned by large corporations.
Do you do large animals?
No. Well, really big dogs, but otherwise. I have done some... some wildlife, because there's some wildlife people here that, you know, they don't have a surgeon, so I've done some bear on occasion, but rarely. And they have to come in asleep and leave asleep.
Can you tell the board about architecturally, is it consistent with what's there now? Is it the same architect, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, we are using the same architect.
Color scheme, things like that. Can you just go into it a little bit? I see on the board, I don't know if we haven't marked this exhibit.
Can I ask a question? Is that the exhibit by any chance part of what the submittals?
Yes.
As a color?
It wasn't in color. Yeah, this is the color version.
Okay, so let's mark the color rendered sheet A201 as exhibit A1.
Here, I have a couple of stickers here.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Okay. Here, next. A1, today's date, and let's pick a place on all the exhibits. Let's pick the lower right-hand corner. Just don't cover anything up, the lower right-hand corner.
So currently the building is mostly like a beige color. There's a rust accent, and then there's some stone accents in the front. We plan to continue with the same color scheme. The rest of the building, all of it needs to be repainted, so we'll be painting the old part the same color as the new part. And continuing with the rust accent and the stone. I mean, my favorite color is orange, so it kind of.
there was a question with regard to lighting on one of the reports, and I know Mr. Laskavage is going to get into detail on it. But one of the questions was, and I think you can answer this better than Mr. Laskavage, are these lights on sensors, timers? How do they go off and on? The outside lighting I'm talking about.
The parking lot lights were set on a timer, like when the building was built, and I don't even know where the timer is because we're not supposed to change it. So they come on and then they turn off on their own.
Right, and the new lights that are proposed, if you know, will they be similar?
They will probably be on the same timer, yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
That is really all I had for Dr. Ross with regard to what she does there, what she plans on doing there. Mm-hmm. A little bit about what she wants to do in terms of what the building is going to look like. The rest of my case in chief is really about your expert reports, to go through those. And
a quick question on the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's on a timer and it's already, you don't even know what it is. Do you know roughly what time the lights do come on? You might not know when they go off. Mm-hmm. You know, are they usually on like this time of year, 4:30, kind of dark out?
They're usually on by the time I leave the building, but they're usually on by the time it gets dark, and I think it is set seasonally to come on earlier. We have added floodlights in the back of the building for the dog walking area because those parking lot lights don't get there. So we have floodlights at the dog walking area and one near the back door where most of the staff come and go because the parking lot lights aren't on all night near that area, so we put floodlights there for that, for the safety of the staff.
Also on
I think they're motion detectors. Yeah.
Have you had any issues with any of the neighbors complaining about the existing lighting that's there?
No.
So just a brief comment/question. So I'm sure that your engineer is going to get into this, but the underlying approval here was the planning board's resolution, amended resolution 2006-16. That's which actually granted preliminary approval for phase one, preliminary approval for phase two, and final approval for phase one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm not going to go through all the resolutions, but the last resolution the Planning Board adopted was 2019-06. 2019-06 extended the time to get the final site plan approval for phase two, and it extended it to November 2, 2022. And you guys filed an application.
Oh,
so
okay, good.
So everything's good. Uh-huh. Tom asked in his report to go over the conditions. So I'm going to ask, if you don't have a copy, Mr. Cirillo, of this resolution, I'm going to give it to you. But for example, condition number 3, hours and limitations on operation and use. It's like you're moving into, you're upgrading and moving into modern times, so to speak. The resolution actually limits the hours of operation to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. weekdays.
Which resolution? The second one?
No, the first one. The original resolution, and it was, as far as we can tell, unless it was modified, we can't find a modification. So
it's always been a 24-hour hospital.
Well, it was approved in 2006, okay. Not that way, but you're going to ask as part of the relief to modify at minimum condition number 3,
okay.
Because according to condition number 3, not only are the hours of operation 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. weekdays, Saturday 8 a.m. to 12 noon, and no hours on Sunday.
That would have been great.
Additionally, it limits 2 to 3 employees on site at any time, 24/7, to take care of animals recovering from surgery only.
Mm-hmm.
And then as to lighting, all lighting shall be on timers from dusk to 8:30 p.m. 8:30 through dawn, no lighting. So just, I'm going to give this to Mr. Cirillo on a break.
8:30 and after
8:30, no lighting? I'm reading another one. I don't know which one of the previous ones that has specifics about lighting. After 8:30, it's lesser light, and we allowed lesser light.
For security.
Right.
Correct.
Because we acknowledged it was a 24-hour...
You acknowledged that for recovering animals, it was 24 hours. But I'm going to give this to Mr. Cirillo.
I think there's a threshold question I'm trying to get my head around before even on this is, we know what we've already approved and what the conditions are. I think we need to be focused on what's the increment off of that, and if there's anything in those base previous conditions.
Right. My final comment on that was, so the extension gave until November 4, 2022 to get final site plan approval. But you're seeking amended preliminary and final, which implies that there are changes that have been made from what was approved in 2006 to now.
Yes.
So what the chairman is asking, and this is again for your engineer, describe what was approved in 2006 and now what these changes are, why you need amended preliminary, just to bring them up to speed. And by the way, a lot of these board members, they certainly weren't here in 2006, so they have no idea what was approved. And I don't know if you want to take a quick recess and read through that thing now, or if you want to keep on going. You need the microphone.
Use this one?
Yeah, you just use the microphone.
He can't hear.
Well, okay.
I don't know. Where's the nearest speaker?
Well, we can have her use the handheld if you...
Larry's
testing,
portable.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yes. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Can you hear that better?
No, I can't hear. I can hear the attorney. I can hear the doctor.
Okay, you got to speak louder. We can hear the attorney, not you.
Okay.
I'm the big mouth, but you're going to have to.
So should I speak into this one or that one louder?
I think this is better, right?
Yeah.
And that will probably,
yes, okay. Straight direct into the.
Okay. So okay. Do you want to take a recess?
You want to take a few minutes just to look
at it? Yeah, I've never seen this before. Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah. Well, we can take a few minutes. Just
a couple of minutes.
That way you can.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We're recess for a few moments. Minutes.
Yeah, Mark. Put you in the middle, Mark.
Both
so condition 3 of this resolution, condition 3 of the approval. So hang on. So you're saying condition 3. Conditions. Relief granted.
For condition 3.
Well, we started. I was the only specialist there, so maybe we did only do it for surgery, but that was never planned.
So we need to amend while we're here.
Yeah.
To include
this, it specifies that the hospital will be available for appointments from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays, and on Saturdays 8 to 12. That is, for the most part, what we do. Saturdays, we sometimes go till 2, so we would like to request an extension of Saturdays. But it goes on to say that we can take emergencies, which can arise any time of any day or night, which is the 24-hour emergency service. So our specialty service does have scheduled hours, and then the emergency service, it's kind of walk-in 24/7.
So based on that old resolution, it's pretty much what we're asking for, except we'd like to extend Saturday appointments till 2 instead of noon. So right now it says 8 to 12 in that old resolution.
Suggestion?
Yeah. Just make
if
it
you difficult. Think that you might expand in the future, unless you find out from the board, if anyone has a problem with Saturday, you don't have to use the hours you ask for, but if you ask for 2 and you want to extend it later, you're going to end up coming back.
You don't want to come back.
Okay, can we have hours on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 till 7?
So that's for scheduled appointments.
Right, and then 24/7 for the emergencies.
And so get closer to that microphone, because I'm sure
if I when you do emergencies, people call you and tell you to bring someone in, so then you have staff there, or do you have staff there that's 24/7?
We have staff there 24/7. Some people call, some people do not.
So you have? Do you have between 2 to 3 employees on site 24/7, or do you have more than 3 employees?
We have more than 3 employees now.
So you want to also modify that?
Yes, let's modify.
What should that be modified?
To the number of employees required for the caseload.
So how many, what's the maximum number you could see having them be on site 24/7 for emergencies? If 2 to 3, if you're exceeding that now.
Might I ask a question?
Sure.
Is the requirement necessary at all?
Yeah. Well, the requirement originally was because this is a permitted use, but there are also residences around.
Right. I was here. I was one of the few. If you look on the bottom. My name is down there. So, So I remember a lot of this. Let me just sort of say, everyone was happy. But the concern was nighttime activity with the residences in the area and the lighting more than anything else. Mm-hmm. I've not heard of complaints or concerns, but that doesn't mean I'm following where we're going, which is we ought to be looking at this and saying, I think it covers that it's emergency. You know, we had 2 to 3 employees. I think it was just, what do you think it's going to be? You're going to be limited by the size of that building, frankly.
Yes. And at the time we opened, I was the only doctor in the building.
Right. I remember you guys.
Put it this way. Based on the 2 additions that you're here for, what do you think the maximum number of employees 24/7 could be?
I think at the slowest time, with the fewest employees, we probably would have 10 to 15 people in the building.
I would go with the busiest time.
The busiest time? Like 25 or 30 people?
Like 24/7?
No.
Well, you said the busiest time.
No, this is overnight.
Busiest time overnight.
Overnight is our slowest time, so I would say overnight you may have 10 to 15 people max. Yeah, because there's a shift change. So during a shift change, you'd have more people in the building.
How many parking spots are there?
Yeah, how many parking spots are there?
There's 59 now, and we're going to 69 plus
10.
So why don't we say 20 for now and see if the parking can? See if the parking can accommodate it. So you want to increase from 3 new employees 24/7 to 20 employees. Uh-huh. You want to increase the Saturday hours to 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. You want to put in Sunday hours 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., even though you might not have to use that.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Good. And I think if I remember at the time, there was a concern that this became a boarding, a kennel, versus a
dog. We don't do any boarding.
So that language is still in here that says it's not going to be a board.
Blossom was upset about this?
There are 2 residences near the hospital, one right in front of it, as like in the middle of the property, and one across the street. So those were the only 2 residences that would have been affected, but we didn't plan on doing any boarding, and we haven't done any boarding, and the animals are never left outside. They get walked outside, but they are on a leash and they're brought back in.
Mm-hmm.
No, again, I'm just trying to be thorough, looking through. This is your opportunity to do it now while we're...
Okay. And the other thing is you mentioned that you added floodlights to the back. Mm-hmm. What were the floodlights for? And are those floodlights shown on these plans?
Well, there's a rear building elevation, so the lighting plan has changed. So I suspect the engineer...
Okay, we'll ask him that.
But there is some sight lighting.
Okay, but what's the purpose of the...
That's the area where we walk the dogs. Didn't have enough light because there was one light on the back door and it didn't, you know, light up the whole yard.
But there's a new dog walking area.
There will be new, so we're going to have to change.
That's with the engineer. Okay.
Yeah, excited about that.
And while we have you, have you received any complaints from any of the neighbors for any of the operations?
Early on, we would get a complaint because people would turn into their driveway instead of ours because of where our sign was. So we put the sign between our driveway and theirs instead of in front of our driveway, but that was what we were told to do. And so people would mistakenly turn into their driveway instead of ours. So we had to train our receptionist to just tell people which driveway to turn into so people weren't showing up at their house at 2 in the morning.
The sign's still in that same location?
Yes.
But you haven't had a problem since then.
We have not had a problem since the receptionist have been telling them that, but we also now own the house, so it's not currently lived in by someone other than Crown.
There's a lighting report. There are lighting engineer
Correct. Okay. So I'm trying to answer
Tom's question. Tom just said something about there's floodlights in the back.
There are now to illuminate the rear dog walking area. There's a new proposed dog walking area, which is surrounded by the building, so it alleviates that issue. But there is some new lighting in the side of the back, on the side.
We'll have testimony on that because we have to address that lighting report.
Okay.
That's all I have for Dr. Ross at this time.
Okay. So you can go back.
Okay.
Gonna call Mark Laskavich, who's been sworn in.
Just a quick question. I know that your partner's in the audience. There's someone else in the audience. Is that an interested party in the audience?
No, not intentionally. I just came here to see what was.
Are you as interested in general?
I happen to be familiar with their operation because we have four pets and have one there tonight.
So anytime.
Yes, but that was not my intention of coming.
But anytime the chairman says, "Are there any questions?" and ask the board and the board members, assume he's also asking you if you have any questions. If you ever have any questions during this thing, raise your hand. Let us know.
No, I'd just be supportive of this proposal. Okay. Driving to Red Bank with a pet, a lot of people would choose not to and possibly lose their pet.
Do we want to put it on the record?
You're welcome to if you want to.
When he has a chance for a public comment, you'll ask.
Okay, I can save my comments for that.
So I'm going to ask Mr. Laskavich to, if you could please tell the board your credentials and licenses held and also...
Yeah, can you also spell your last name?
Sure. My last name is Laskavage, Lescavage.
Credentials, school, work-related experience, licenses, etc.
Yes, I have a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from NJIT, 1991, a Master's in Science and Environmental Management from NJIT, 1999. I've been a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey since 1997, appeared in front of many planning boards and zoning boards of adjustment throughout the state. I have not been qualified by this board previously.
Anybody have any questions or comments or concerns? If not,
you're going to qualify him now.
We'll qualify him now, right?
Yep. Qualified?
Yep.
Qualified.
Thank you.
Mr. Laskavich, did you prepare the engineering plans in connection with this application?
Yes, I have.
And have you had an opportunity to review the landscape architect report, the lighting report, the engineer's report, and the planner report from the township, from the board professionals?
I have.
What I'd like you to do, if you could, please, is go through each of those reports from the board professionals. And
just tell us, which one... the date, and then go nice and slow. And what the board has generally done is if there's a comment, and it's under, for example, let's say you took the Mott McDonald report, which is dated December 1, and you went to the technical comment section that starts on page 2, and you see the first comment, 1A1. If you agree with it, and therefore you would ask that it become a condition of approval. You don't say anything, because if you don't mention a comment, and it's going to become a condition of approval if they approve it. You only mention the comments that either you don't disagree with or you think need clarification or something.
Okay, should I introduce the application in general?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned there's been a number of board members that...
Right, there's only two board members up there that have any idea about the 2006 approval, and those guys, plus I was here, I don't remember
what
phase two was back then, and the difference between what was then and what is now. So yeah, you can do that first.
Absolutely. So I did prepare a few more exhibits, I guess with the A2 and A3.
Yep. Here's an A2 and an A3 sticker.
2006, yes.
There's A2, and I think A3.
So A2 is an aerial exhibit from Google Earth 2022, prepared by Colliers Engineering. A3 is a color rendering of the site plan, specifically the landscape plan, prepared by our office as well. Okay, referring to A2, the aerial exhibit, the property in question is block 3.03, lot 7. It consists of a little under 11 acres. It exists at 23 Blossom Hill Road. It is wholly contained within the C-ROM Commercial Research Office and Manufacturing District. As you can see, most of the development is towards the front of the property. The western half of the property, or over half of the property, consists of a stream corridor, C1 stream corridor, for the south branch, the tributary to the south branch of Rockaway Creek, which runs north to south through the back of the property. So there's significant constraints through that back area. From that, there was a conservation easement that was established towards the limit of the development, the current development on the property. And just to orient the board, for the adjoining uses to the north, you can see there is Route 78. To the east is the residence that Mrs. Ross has referred to in her testimony. You can see there's an outparcel which this lot surrounds, which also has a residence on it, and that's the subject of the relief with the application, the design waiver that's being requested. You can see to the south, there's a number of commercial businesses along the Route 22 corridor. To the west is the corporate office center off of Route 22.
Just a quick clarification. When you said that's the subject of the design waiver for the landscaping.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I'll explain that later.
Okay.
And to get into the what's existing on the property, you can see that there is one principal building there, which consists of 8,749 square feet. That is the phase one that was approved and constructed where the original site plan had it. Also, you can see the front area. The parking lot was constructed as per the site plan. And in fact, when Dr. Ross went through the construction, she constructed the parking spaces that were anticipated to be needed for phase two as well. That's why there's 59 parking spaces on the site now.
Thank you.
Now, the original Phase 2 expansion was to be 3,918 square feet, which consisted of an expansion towards the front and a larger expansion towards the back of the building. So the total build-out was supposed to be 12,667 square feet. Also constructed as part of the project was a potable well that was anticipated for the full build-out. There was also a fire tank that was constructed, which exists adjacent to the parking area. That was also built for the full development. The septic system was built for the anticipated increase in Phase 2. And then there was also an extensive landscaping plan that was put in place. So that's your existing conditions. Now I'll move to Phase 2, which is the proposed conditions, the color render.
Just a quick question. If the total that was previously approved was 12,667 square feet, and the original Phase 2 was 3,900 square feet, that means Phase 1 was the difference between 12,667 and 3,900?
The original Phase 2 was 3,918 square feet.
Okay. 3,918. So again, Phase 1, then, would, if you do the arithmetic, right, it would be 12,667 minus 3,918, and that should be what the Phase 1 that was built is, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, can you just do that arithmetic for me?
Sure. 8,749 square feet plus 3,918 square feet is 12,667 square feet.
All right, thanks.
Okay, referring to A3, which is a larger version of the aerial, plus the proposed conditions are put onto the in the project. So what we are proposing is a larger version of the addition on the rear, and that is both larger in footprint and total square foot area.
Meaning it has two levels.
It has two levels. So the original clearing line, there was going to be a lot of fill brought in because towards the rear of the property, the topography really it juts down towards the stream. So there was necessary to bring in a lot of fill. So to create more space, there was a lower level or a walkout created. So we didn't have to bring as much fill in into that area and also give Dr. Ross more space to work with. So there is a lower level, lower than the first floor level that currently exists, and that's going to be 2,005 square feet. And the total footprint that we're proposing in the back is going to be 4,712 square feet.
Okay, so the lower level is 2,005 square feet. So then you have, we're going to call it a first level. Is the first level the same level as the existing first floor?
Okay. The first level, no, is a larger footprint of the addition. But is the same level as the first floor, correct. I'm sorry.
If the lower level is 2,005 square feet, what's the square footage? Again, 4,712 subtract 2,005, but I don't want to do it. You're the engineer.
Yes. Is should have an answer for you in a second. Because there is also another addition, so I have to do three numbers for
it. Okay, there's a 4,712 square feet. I thought you were talking about just in the rear. That includes the other addition also?
No, that's just that addition, yes.
Just the one in the rear. If the total is 4,712 square feet and the lower level is 2,005 square feet, what's the square footage of that other level? And what are we calling that other level? Is it calling it the ground?
We're calling it the basement level.
Basement level, okay.
So the total is 6,717 square feet.
Okay. Now he wanted the difference between 4,712 minus 2,005, I think.
Is that what you want?
That was 2,707.
I just want to make sure. So are you saying that the basement level is 2,707 square feet and the lower level is 2,005 square feet?
No, what I'm saying is this footprint in the back is total 4,712 square feet.
That's the footprint.
That's the footprint.
The footprint includes the basement.
Now, a portion of that is the same level and will be filled in. Where you can see the yellow on the north side of the building, that's where we're going to have a walkout. So the basement, if you will, is not all the way across that new addition. It's only 2,005 square feet.
So, can we give another shot?
Be on any of those.
When you say the footprint, is that the footprint of only the addition or existing?
That's the footprint of the first floor.
Of the addition.
Of the addition.
If the footprint is 4,712 square feet, correct?
Yes.
And then you have a basement of 2,712 square feet.
2,005 square feet.
Okay. All right. 2,005 square feet. Then you get your total of 6,717 square feet?
Correct.
Okay.
Sorry for the confusion.
Now, I might be thick tonight. I don't know.
It's a lawyer.
It's good
before. No, we're not. It's irrelevant. I don't know where we come up with that.
That's correct, for both floors.
You threw us off because you said 2,707 square feet. I don't know where that came from. But we don't have to worry about it. You don't need that.
No.
So, footprint of 4,712. I'm glad that you had the same thing that I did. I was feeling very stupid.
I was confused. So I thought it was me. So you thought it
was. Footprint, 4,712, basement, 2,005, total of the rear addition is 6,717.
Okay, there is also a front addition, which is in the same spot as it was in the prior approval for phase two, and that's 432 square feet, and that's just an enhanced front entrance area. Now, with the 6,717 square feet plus the 432 square feet, that gets us to the total new floor area of 7,149 square feet.
I love it when numbers add.
I'm afraid it's rare. Is the existing building one floor or two?
One floor.
So the footprint and the square footage of the existing building should be the same, correct?
Yes.
And the footprint and the existing square footage of the existing phase one is how much again?
It's 8,749 square feet.
Okay.
After this, you can answer legal questions. Cool.
I'm into the first paragraph in the resolution with the how you calculate the thing. That's
I know. No, it's, no. It's good.
I had a Board of Adjustment resolution. Tom McCaffrey's on me with the arithmetic. And by the way, I got to talk to you about that tomorrow. That's probably the report. We're all there.
I've got three bean counters over here. Everything always has to get up with these guys.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Where she's coming from.
Totally understood. Just you got to get it.
Yeah.
Perfectly square. Okay, so those are the building additions. Also, we have added parking areas, specifically two parking areas anticipated. So the first one is an 1,800 square foot parking area that contains 10 spaces. That is in the extension of the easternmost part of the existing parking lot. So we're adding that in. I think I mentioned that there's 59 existing spaces, so that would bring the number up to 69 spaces. We've also proposed what we're calling a banked parking area, which is along the entrance drive, on the south side of the entrance drive, where there's 8 spaces, which would build the total for the site plan up to 77 parking spaces. Now, there isn't a standard within the ordinance for parking of this use, but it appeared that it was well established in the prior approval that 5.25 spaces per exam room was a good number. And with that, there being 14 exam rooms, I believe, that would bring the requirement up to 74 spaces. So with the bank parking, we have 77 spaces in total. So we would meet the parking requirements, although, as I said, there isn't one specifically in the ordinance. Also, as Mr. Behrens had indicated, the dog run area is no longer along the exterior. It is now interior at this location. It's a 23 by 32 area that's going to be turfed, that's going to be completely surrounded by the building. And all services will be through the sanitary system within the building. So that's completely self-contained. Now, dealing with the utilities, we determined that the septic system, in terms of the two tanks, are okay for the expanded footprint. However, the disposal field, which is on the north side of the property, we will need to add one lateral there, so we will need a health department approval for the project to expand just the disposal field. However, the total flow still keeps us within a local approval. We won't need to go to NJDEP or the county for an amendment to their wastewater management plan. And actually, that's what determined us building out for where to the square footage number that we have. We examined the well that's in the south side of the property, and in terms of the potable well, we don't need to expand. Even with the additional square footage and fixtures, potable well will easily service the expanded phase two. Now, on the fire suppression tank, there was a 20,000-gallon tank put into service for the project. That was anticipated to handle phase one and phase two. However, because that's determined based on the volume inside the building, we determined that we're going to have to add 12,000 gallons to service the expanded phase two. So the way we would do that is we would connect the existing tank. We'll put another 12,000-gallon tank just in the south end of that parking area, so that they would be connected in series, so that would allow a pumper truck to be able to come in and utilize the water. The existing service in terms of the electrical is fine. However, there will be a transformer that we have not determined a location yet, but it'll probably be on the south side of the building. So that's the effect in terms of the phase two on the utilities with the expanded square footage. In terms of the stormwater, what we proposed, and this came out of some discussions with Mr. Plevier, made some great suggestions for us. We originally looked at how we would treat the expansion of the parking area. The footprint of the building is slightly larger, but really the stormwater is mostly being generated by the additional 10 parking spaces. We propose to handle that with permeable pavers that will both limit the amount of runoff and also provide water quality and potentially groundwater recharge to address the new green infrastructure rules.
Can I ask two quick questions before you go too far? The building height isn't going to change. You know, all whatever features you have will sort of be within the same height as the current, right?
That's correct.
When you say the transformer's not shown on here, that's not I'm asking, or that's not an issue in any setbacks or anything, then that shows up, right?
Well, if they don't seek a variance from it now, once the transformer shows up, it's going to have to comply with the setback, or they're going to have to come back for
right,
variance.
That was sort of the question I was just asking, to try to limit that. I can't see the logic. Okay. It looks like you got space there.
We'll comply with the setback. I just want to make everyone aware.
No.
They're trying to make
we're trying to make sure you don't have to come back.
I have a quite similar question with regard to the water storage.
John, I have a question. Go ahead.
I'll let him go.
And it's more, I guess it's also a question from Tom Barracks. Tom, is it accurate to say that septic fields are considered structures in the setback?
Right, I actually know that, my memo.
Yeah, there's an ordinance here that says underground structures such as septics have to comply with the setback.
Right.
I'm just saying this because, I mean, there's a pre-existing septic field in the setback, but their proposed expansions to the north, to the property line, which would actually make that disposal field, it would make it a more intense use as far as the non-conformance.
Right, so technically they're going to need an additional variance to move it towards the property line. If they moved it the other way, they wouldn't.
And same for a fire suppression tank, the holding tank?
Well, that exists, right?
No, they got added to
it. But it's in the setback. I don't know where. That's what it looks like. That's the same point. I was going to ask the same question as a follow-up to the transport.
Yeah, the fire suppression tanks, it looks like it would be within that setback. I believe it would be between the subject lot and the residential lot, which is lot 5. So right. I think you'd be within that 75-foot setback.
And I would have to ask relief for that.
No, it was a little unclear at fire suppression. That's why I had asked at least to have an approximation of the footprint of the tank shown and defer to the fire code official, because I was assuming you guys were going to use the existing tank, but now hearing that the previous phase 2 that was approved before is now you've got a larger area, yeah. I agree, there's no way you're going to get around using the same tank.
How did you figure, when you mentioned the 5.2 spaces per exam room, I'm looking in that resolution 2016-16, and I can't find any specific finding. It does say that preliminary site plan approval of phase 1 of the proposed development consists of 8,749 square feet of building and 37 paved asphalt parking spaces. So that... Does it say in here, or how did you guys come up with, or how did the applicant previously come up with the 5.2 parking spaces per exam room? And the reason I say that, you're right, it's not listed in Ordinance Section 165-71, but there's a subsection, Ordinance Section 165-71, and let me just, A10, is off-street parking, and then under A10 you have the chart in sub A, and then you have a sub B that doesn't apply, then you have sub C that says parking space requirements for a use not listed above in the chart shall be determined by the planning board on the basis of requirements of similar uses and on the basis of the specific nature of the use. In addition, the planning board shall have the authority to require a greater number of parking spaces and required above or the reservation of an area for an additional future parking. That's the bank parking spaces you're talking about. If due to the nature of the use, the greater number of spaces are likely to be needed. So what's the...
So we took the 5.25 was on the approved site plan, and the only thing I could determine from our older files was that was on Larry's predecessor, which I believe was Kathleen Marcelli.
Yes.
It appeared to be that that was an agreement between our office and her as an acceptable engineering standard at the time.
Larry, you know anything about that?
No, I'd have to check that. I don't know where it was. Like, again, I was
yeah. Can I address that?
Loud.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Marcelli was concerned about parking, and there wasn't an ordinance. So we came to an agreement to have a certain number to start with, and then keep track of how that worked out. I was out counting cars for quite a bit of time to see, and we had banked parking in case it wasn't enough. So I'm not sure that we actually came up with a formula like this is how many we should have. We came up with a this is how many we'll start with and see if that works out.
Right, but on the plan, obviously someone divided the number of spaces by the number of exam rooms and came up with the 5.2, correct?
Correct.
And I have, before you sit down, I have a question. So you said you were out counting spaces, and how long did that go on for?
That lasted until, I guess, like 2018, 2019. That's when we expanded the parking lot, when it was finally getting to the point that sometimes there weren't enough parking spaces for the employees as well as the patrons. And now we tend to have enough parking. The biggest problem we have with parking now is that there's a part of the parking lot that I will not allow employees to park in. So it's never that the parking lot is completely full, but during shift changes, when some people get there and other people haven't left, there'll be like three or four cars that are parked on the curb. And that's why we think if we put those extra 10 spots along the back, that will stop happening. But so we've never had the parking lot so full that no one could park.
So I come from the practical school, which is when we were building this, we didn't know what to expect, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've got 15 years or how many years of experience. So you have, like, how many cars or how many spots, and then how many, like, exam rooms do you have currently? And does that ratio up to what you're changing?
Yeah. I would do it this way. I would take maximum capacity, and I would ask, when someone brings an animal in, do they normally bring one person or two people bring the animal in? You figure out, but if they're in the same car, you count the number, is it one car?
It's usually one car, and it's usually two people or more.
Okay, so you figure out, you're interested in cars, right? So what's the maximum number of animals at any one time? That will give you the maximum number of cars from patients,
it's the same.
The maximum number of employees at any one time, and then you figure out, if they come in a shift change, right, then you have to have something for the shift change, and that would be how many spaces that you should say they would have. Now, other than that, that's where I stop.
Right. But I think there's enough empirical knowledge of how many rooms are you going to have, like exam rooms. You just said you may have 20 people or 30 people during a day. Staff there, right. All of a sudden you can quickly do the is that parking number reasonable based on those?
I think it's more than reasonable, and it even accounts for the shift change, because if we have 30 people in there and we have all 14 exam rooms filled, that's 44 spaces there. And so even
and if you have a shift,
if you have a shift change where we may have an overlap of 8 people, well, you know, then that should
let's
be
say you have an overlap of 15 people, just to be conservative. My arithmetic, which I said I don't want to do, that will come to 79 spaces. 30 employees, mm-hmm. 14 exam rooms, plus 15 overlap.
That's 44 plus 15 is 59?
59. 59, sorry. And how many spaces are being proposed?
69.
It's 59 now.
59, 59 plus now. The 10 banked.
Correct.
No, 10 yeah. additional.
No,
and
10,
10
additional,
banked.
Then there's 8 banks.
59 plus 8.
59 plus 10.
59 plus 10.
59 plus 10.
You guys lost me. 8 banked.
Oh, my God.
The 8
are banked. The 10 are actual. So plus 10 actual with 8 reserved.
Okay.
So
sounds like they have enough.
And what is, how many are there today?
There's 59 spaces there today.
So I'm still, you got to help me do the delta.
The 59 spaces today, you're proposing to pave how many additional?
10.
And
there's 69.
And you're going to have banked for eight?
Eight more.
Eight more, yeah.
So what's 59 plus 10 is 69 plus
77. 77.
Would be okay. 77 spaces. And what we said on the other end was if they had 30 employees there plus 14 exam rooms, that brings it up to 44. And if you had 15 overlap, that's 59.
Yep. Right. So here's the simple question. Today, how many exam rooms are there?
Seven.
Right. And so how many, and how many, I'm just trying to do, how many today parking spots are there? I'm an increment guy.
59.
Right. So you had said there are times when it's tough to park today with 59 spots.
Well, and again, it's not because the lot's full. It's because there's part of the parking lot that the staff cannot park in. So when the staff comes in for a shift change, there may still be 10 spaces over by where the clients are parking,
oh,
but
so
they're not allowed to park there.
So now we're out of park spots in the back.
Right. So you're saying you like to leave spots for potential customers to come rather than...
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And one final way, the super-duper conservative way of looking at it is, if you have 30, max of 30 employees, plus 14 exam rooms, brings you to 44. If you said you're going to have 30 overlapping employees, that would bring it to 79, and they're now proposing to 59 existing, paid an existing 10, that's 69, 8 bank brings it to 77, that would almost cover your worst case ever scenario.
Okay.
While we're on the subject of cars and parking, I just think, I mean, is it worth talking briefly about, like, I think in this case, this facility has grown in the new, you know, additions and whatnot to accommodate what's already there and the business they're already doing. But what is, like, sort of the impact on traffic? The only reason I say is because the mayor's, no, this is a notorious intersection, Blossom Hill and 22, and there are a lot of homes back there, so I was wondering if you should...
I'll put it this way. Legally... It's a permitted use.
Right.
I'm just, so you can ask, but it doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. I was just curious about the impact.
They blocked off that intersection. Like, you can't...
I know they did modify the intersection.
Right.
I say that because this is a notorious intersection
the
that buyers
not complete.
Have been to Trenton about, you know, so it's...
It's complete. I think they blocked it off completely.
They have to do some striping.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting some complaints that people are driving over those little...
Oh, yeah.
So they've got to find it out. But, yeah, John, I would just say that I don't really get complaints about this.
Right.
Facility.
It's so close.
Generally, the condition of the road, high on us in the back. And
right.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Good.
I hate to ask and go along the parking conversation. Being that the EGO approval was created in 2006, there's since been a new state requirement for electric vehicle charging stations.
And the statute says that the planning board shall, if it grants preliminary approval, has to impose as a condition these EV parking spaces.
For commercial and for housing, right? For certain.
Yeah, it's a minimum threshold. Once you hit the threshold, so you could just agree to comply, we could figure out the math later, or?
Yes, I believe the state requirements from 51 to 75 spaces is two. So
make ready.
So we did discuss that.
What you're asking is that if the board's going to approve this,
we would comply with it.
Saying to provide. To make ready, or do you feel
or just say you'll comply with whatever the
required by law.
What does make ready mean?
It means that the conduit for the electric vehicle spaces are there, so it's ready to accept an actual charging station.
I would just say to comply with the statute. Yeah. Currently in effect.
Add EV make ready spaces to comply with, and I'll put the statutory citation.
Yeah.
Tom, do you have to ensure that 188 stalls got electric parking?
That's a question that I've been hearing about a lot recently.
That's
I thought it was supposed to have at least 188.
I think if we just go with compliance, then we can cover that basis, and they'll either have to put it in or not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in a big parking lot, it's about 30%.
Again, I like the idea not to deal with the details.
Right. Just to say, and this one, just say it has to comply.
But that's a good point, though. Actually, you'll have to comply with whatever.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, because now the lot is kind of an expansion, but that might be tearing into the parking lot or the bank and everything else, but it is what it is.
Leave that up to the code official.
They're compliant on the number of the variance needed for the number.
And that each one that's, is it make radio or actually activated counts as two?
You do get two credits per, I think even per the make ready.
Okay.
That's why I was just staying away from the terminology make ready in the resolution and just cite the statute. So they can comply however they want.
And required EV pursuant to NJSA 40:55D-66.20.
Is some water? Mikey, found outside. Water fountain?
Yeah,
it's fountain. Yeah. While we're still moving on the fire tank, I think the fire marshal should. I don't see a letter in this review, but.
Subject to a condition, the fire marshal has got a review and
approval.
Right, I actually have that in my report.
All right, sorry, I didn't mean to jump the shark there, but
that's okay. I mean, it's into my policy, so if my report becomes a condition, it's tied in there.
Jump the shark means something else. That's what Happy Days got bad because Fonzie jumped the shark. So whatever a show goes from being good to bad is jumping the shark.
I didn't mean the place was going bad. Right?
What are you up to? They're saying with regard to the water tank, it'll be subject to the fire marshal approving our, what did you say, 12,000 additional instead of 11? Yeah, so they'll make it a condition.
I can't see the exhibits, but just a question, just so I'm clear, the plans indicate an easement. I believe you're calling it a stream corridor easement, but that is the conservation.
Yes, I can clarify that that's conservation easement. We're calling it the stream corridor easement. And we'll make that change in the plan.
Okay. And you did see I had a comment just pulling all the disturbance out of there.
Correct. And we can comply with that.
To be clear, you're not encroaching into any.
Well, the plan, he's realizing the plan shows they are, but he's saying he'll take a condition saying fix that, revise the plan so they don't encroach, correct?
Correct. I think we can probably go through the reports.
Yeah.
All right. So, where were we at? We were doing an overview and then discussion. Were we getting to the specific reports?
Well, I guess we started. That's what he suggested. Why don't we just go on to the reports?
Let's go. I was
kind of went that way on its own.
So I guess starting with the.
Hold on. Let's, Larry. We're going to turn you around so you can see them and they can see you now.
Oh,
hey, Larry.
Hold on for a second.
Hold on.
Give me something under. Watch this. Give me something under. No. Perfect. Okay.
There you go. Good job, Tom. Thank you.
Larry's report first, right? Larry's.
Little Larry's.
Report.
Okay.
Matt McDonald, dated December 1, 2022.
So, and you had mentioned as you're going through the report, only mention things that either need testimony or we're not agreeing to.
Right. So, in other words, under policy issues, I assume that B2, those are all proposed conditions, that you have no problem with any of the proposed conditions under policy B2, correct?
None at all. No.
Correct.
Correct.
Sorry. Okay. So now go to C.
Excuse me.
If you agree, you don't have to mention it. If you don't agree or you want to clarify, then mention it.
just going through them, 1A, no issues. 1B, no issues.
There was two. There was some comments requesting testimony that we've covered about the storage tank for fire suppression and the EV park.
Right.
Yeah, that was under 1C. Yeah, yep. And we did cover it that we needed additional 12,000 gallons to comply with the NFPA code. We talked about electrical vehicle parking as well.
You're into D.
1D.
Upgrading plan. Anything there, the problem?
No, we'll comply with all. No problem with 1F. On item 2,
yep.
A through E, we'll take as condition. The only caveat that I would propose there is that we're going to do some soil profile pits. If they indicate that we do not have permeable soils there, then I would say that we wouldn't need a groundwater recharge requirement. I just wanted to put that out there so Larry could get some feedback.
That's trouble hearing you there, isn't it?
Larry, what he said was, if they do the soil profile pit and they find that it's not permeable, then what he said was he assumes that means they wouldn't have to do recharge, but he's asking for your opinion under the ordinance, what happens then? If they did the pit and it wasn't permeable?
It doesn't necessarily allow you just to be exempt from that requirement. I guess first off, you'd have to try to find maybe another location that could be receptive to recharge DMP. The other thing would still run your recharge spreadsheet. Because the recharge spreadsheet, if the soils are poor, it should reflect that in the current existing condition. And then when you run the post conditions, if it truly is poor soils, you should have no deficit. But if you are generating a deficit, you have to somehow make that work on site.
Do you understand what he just said?
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm saying is that for those areas, the two expanded parking areas, if we were to find that we didn't have a deficit, then...
I know the stormwater reform was basically labeled as preliminary, which is a little... It's a little risky when you're trying to do a... you're kind of making a design assumption, submitting a site plan, and then you're going to follow up with field tests to verify the assumptions in your design. If there's drastic deviations from what can be done...
You're going to have to come back for an amended... Approval, yeah. That's the answer.
Right now, the board's looking at a plan that shows pervious parking. If you have to go to a bioretention swale or something to address water quality, whatever it might be.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a field change is what he's saying. I agree with him. Yeah.
Well, we still propose permeable pavement. Permeable pavement still works as a GI for water quality, regardless of whether there's recharge available or not. That's why I'm just saying, if we were able to demonstrate... If we had less than half of an inch per hour, we wouldn't have a deficit.
That's just an example. It kind of goes for anything. If the plans change as presented, as far as visual, and anything is not just a technical, and then changing a pipe invert or a simple upsize to a pipe, that's a technical matter. But if there's a change on the actual layout of the site, I've always said that's a change to something that needs an amendment.
Yeah, okay. So I think there's nothing they can do tonight other than say, yeah, we're going to comply with everything under 2, and if you can't, then you're going to end up coming have to come back here.
If we have to change the layout,
right.
That's what I heard.
Try to keep it within the same design parameters that are shown now. But it's a little risky.
And then item 3, we have no problem changing the traffic statement.
And you have no problem with D. I have a standard condition which I list all those things, and you think those are the correct ones that Larry listed?
Well, we don't need NJDOT approval.
I don't think they're all.
Okay, so
I cover myself.
I understand. Yeah. So why don't you go through?
So we don't have the Clinton Township Sewerage Authority. Because we're on septic.
Okay.
The town of Clinton Water Department, we're not changing the well, so I wouldn't think we...
And no, you would not, be under that.
We don't connect into the municipal system.
Okay.
So
You already have the Highlands Council.
We have Highlands.
Right?
Yes. We have Hunterdon County Soil Conservation District.
On that one, I'm going to leave on and say, sure, if you don't have it, just because, just the belt and suspenders.
Understood. But I'm just letting the board know we did obtain approval. NJDEP, the only thing we have is a letter of interpretation, which you would take as a condition. We do not have NJDOT.
But do you need it?
We do not need it.
Right. And then the Hunterdon County Planning Board?
We do have a letter of no interest from them.
Okay. So I can take them off.
Who does the septic?
That's a very good point. County, so that would be Hunterdon County Health
Department. So that
department
should be on.
So that should be on. Yes. Good point.
Good. Okay. Progress.
Okay.
Why don't you stick with Mott and go to the lighting one, which is dated December 1.
So item 1.1 asked us to quantify the number of existing fixtures. So for lighting, we have 8 existing fixtures that will remain, and the plan is to use the same fixture but upgrade it to an LED, and the photometrics reflect that upgrade. We are also proposing a similar fixture to be mounted. It's 16 feet height, akin side cook arm mount. The same as the existing. It's just the 10-year later version of that same fixture.
Did that comply with the lighting ordinance?
The fixture itself?
Yeah. In other words, is the 16 feet?
That complies. That's okay. Exactly what was previously
approved. Okay. And so the 1.1 could be made into a condition that you revise the plans to show the number of fixtures that are going to be replaced and to show and provide the calculations to include the initial and maintained lighting levels to comply with Ordinance Section 165-74F, correct?
Correct. I interpreted the first one as they need a testimony because they're on the plans already. So.
Oh, they're already on the plans?
Yeah.
Aha. Then you're right. Just need a testimony.
And the distributions, I guess, will vary by the locations.
Correct. Now, in the calculations, the second point there, they're asking for both the initial foot candle level and then the maintained foot candle level. We didn't have that on the plan, so we will have to add that. Um, 1.2, they're asking us to indicate the specific matter of control, and I believe Dr. Ross indicated that, which we will put on the plans as well.
And take a look. According to, again, this corrected resolution, actually the amended resolution 2006-16, on page 13, there's a plan revision condition, 1B, which says revise the plans to comply with the then board lighting expert Gary Garofalo, B1B, add a note to the plans to provide the following. So go to page 13 of your resolution that I gave you.
You gave me 2006.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. The one. Correct. Oh, okay. That's it. 16.
2006-16.
Page 13?
Page 13.
Got it?
Yeah. So this condition says, talks about 3 pole-mounted lights along the access track shall be removed and replaced with a series of bollard lights. Looking at the plan, it doesn't look like that was done. Mm-hmm. It was done?
We have bollard lights up the driveway. Those are the short lights.
But you have now freestanding lights proposed along the
driveway. That's what you just said.
Those are existing now.
Something screwy.
Yeah.
Look at that note. Look at the note on your plan, and also look at B1. That's B1A. B1B says add a note to the plans to provide the following: all lighting shall be on timers. So they are from dusk to 8:30 p.m. All lighting may be on. From 8:30 p.m. through dawn, no lighting other than the following site lighting may be on. Make sure that's still acceptable, or you're going to need to seek a modification of that condition.
Where's he reading? Oh, here. Okay.
I don't think we can work out that, but could we make that a condition that we would work out the lights with the consultant?
Normally, the condition is you're going to do this. It's not like they don't normally delegate a decision to the consultant like that.
Right. The method of how it's going to be lit, whether you're using a timer or a photo cell, I think that's important.
Yeah, but we're talking about whether it's a bollard light or a 16-foot high light, and I don't know.
I see one note on the lighting plan, John, on sheet 11 that says existing bollard to be removed.
Did I hear you guys say you were going to remove bollards and make them poles?
Other symbols on that drawing.
The symbol is for a 16-foot high pole mounted. You have bollards. Poles are proposed.
Poles are only in the new parking areas.
It says existing bollards to be removed. That's because it looks like they're putting in an expanded parking area.
Right.
It doesn't show up.
There's a pole light behind it. Oh, yes, that's a pole. So again, in 2006 the board wanted low bollard lighting, not high light, but I think for a parking area you have to have it. I'm just telling you what we need to know. I'm not talking about the merits of it. Ask for the relief because they now own the property. The condition pertained mostly to the driveway.
Right, it was the driveway that was trying to keep it. It wasn't as much backing with the parking. It was just.
Well, let me ask this question. That's the banked area, right? Or close.
The bollard is being removed.
So I would assume that is the light pole going to be added before the parking area? So this one here.
The pole would only be added if we built those spaces.
Is the note wrong on sheet 11 where it says existing light poles to remain? Is that existing bollards to remain, or does that really mean existing light poles to remain? Those are bollards. So that note's wrong.
Well, the poles part, yes. It should say existing light poles.
Because that would, if that's the case, that clears up at least my confusion. So are you 100% positive that the three existing lights to remain are all bollards?
The lights along the driveway coming up the drive are all bollards.
And they're going to remain?
Yes, I think. Okay.
So do we cross out poles and write in bollards?
Yes, we'll make that correction.
Distribution doesn't. And that other bollard that only goes if the parking goes in on.
Right.
With the one person bollard.
Correct. And maybe the board doesn't have a problem with taking out that bollard down there to put in the additional parking area, the expanded parking area. It looks like it's the bank's area anyway, and put in a 16-foot high pole.
That's closer. That's once you go in further in the driveway.
Correct.
Right? I think that's getting more towards the concept of parking lot lighting with poles and driveway lighting with bollards was the intent to try to.
Two poles along the driveway.
Yes.
I
thought we were saying those were.
There are two new poles along the driveway. Do you want bollards?
You want them to be bollards?
I don't know why we would.
Is there a problem if those two light, the two new lights along the driveway were bollards rather than poles?
No, we don't have a problem with them.
So those are two. Those two by the front of the driveway are light, new light poles.
Right.
Well, those symbols are the bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now those distributions are bollards.
Yeah.
So at least some members of the board are requesting.
I'll find the switching those two
bollards. Yeah.
Bollards along the driveway. But I think if you put the bank parking in and remove the bollard that's currently there, you can use
that's going to be a pole.
Yeah, that's a pole. That makes sense because that's parking.
Writing for myself, revised note on sheet 11 of 13 to eliminate the reference to poles to the name and add the word bollards to the name, and then also change the two new poles at the driveway to two bollards. Okay.
Now you got it. Now how about the timing concept and the
is the timing concept set forth in that condition acceptable, and you need to modify
it? You probably may need to modify it a little bit. And the theory here was from dusk to 8:30, it was more like regular operations. And after 8:30, it was emergencies. So you didn't need all the parking lit up. You just needed enough that people could be secure when they came in at a lesser intensity. I remember that discussion. So looking at this, is this sufficient, or do you need some more when it says three pole-mounted lights at the building frontage? You may need a little more.
Because people come all hours of the day and night.
That's a big difference. Cutoff's 8:30.
We would need to ask for an extension of that. These people come all hours of the day and night now. I mean, they left it lit closest to the building.
As long as we have lighting closer to the building, that's probably fine, but we also need lighting where the employees park. So yeah, the lighting would still need to be on for them as well. And is it easier or, I don't know, better for the environment to just set it to a photocell, or should we keep the timer?
Well, I mean, the photocell, you'll have it on all night. With the timer, you'll have it on whatever hours you set it to have on.
Right.
You don't have any motion response on these.
No, not on those, just on the floodlights near the building.
So what's better for the environment is to have it on a timer, and you adjust the timer to the season. It's also better for your electric bill.
Okay. But we can't adjust the timer.
Yes, you can. You don't know how.
Oh, okay.
Somebody's got
it. Can be
adjusted. To be fair, we just had this issue at the municipal building where the timer was set for the lights to go on at 6, and it's now dark at 4:30, so they had to reset it.
We're buying an astronomical timer or a smart switch.
I mean, the easiest thing to do would be, honestly, the most environmentally sensitive thing would be to have a motion detection light with a photocell on it, so it turns on it. Dark, but dims down when nobody's walking around, and then it dims up when people walk. Now, but that adds cost to the
That adds upfront cost.
That's different, right. So that's
and we would have to swap out the older fixtures.
Yeah, so that's your the board. You're not hearing anyone saying you have to do that. You're just
Let's leave it on the timer and extend it.
So we're what time?
Extend it until
11.
11.
Well, when's your shift change?
No, because people coming in at 10.
Well, they still leave the lights on in front of the building. It's just the one further away.
Yeah, I would look at this specific 1, 2, 3, 4 items on B here, right? So it basically says that all your lights can be on from dusk till 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
From 8:30 through dawn. That's this is supposed to be after hours, if you will. Mm-hmm. No lighting other than the other shall be on. And that's when they laid out the three lights at the front of the building, which I think was meant for people to be able to park.
Right.
And then security lights at, obviously, the front lights at the front doors, right? That bollard lights on the driveway and your sign. So that was sort of the thought was people can come in because you're not open for business, you're...
Can we keep the lights on the side, the north side of the building, because that's where employees walk in and out.
And so maybe we add that, too, because that's to your point. And then if you think those three at the front still make sense, or it needs to be four, that's what we're trying to sort of pitch to you. We're not saying the whole thing lit up. Like,
could you give them 5 minutes to figure this one out, because I'm going to want... Exactly.
That's what I'm right. I think it's worth maybe take a few minute and recess.
And it's okay, I think if you have multiple
items. Yeah, you can have different
right. So before we got a time, you can have
the new lights
on different
time. Right. In other words, the time might be okay. Mm-hmm. Just the location you may have to revise that or add a Roman 5 or something.
Okay.
Take a look. All right, take a few minutes. So, you guys talk a little bit about that evening light concept. So, what are your thoughts?
What do you got?
So, what we're proposing now is to have the lights that are indicated in blue. I guess we got to introduce this as an exhibit.
Yeah, we're going to make that an exhibit. That's going to be A4.
A4, which is...
Give you a label. But this is excellent. This is going to make life a lot easier for me because I can just refer to that instead of having to do a... Thank you. So what is Exhibit A4? It is sheet what of what, marked up with what?
It is the lighting plan that was submitted as part of the application. It's sheet 11 of 13.
Okay. And it's marked up with blue and red.
Blue, and that's orange, actually.
Blue and orange, okay. Now, tell us what the blue and the orange are.
So what we were proposing is that all the lights that are shown would be on till 10 p.m., and then the blue lights that we're indicating here, which are, I believe it's five existing lights, that are in front of the building and along this parking area, which is mainly the employee parking area, and then the five proposed building mounts that are around the building, we're proposing those to stay on. Those are I would consider the safety lighting.
Dusk to dawn.
So what lights go off?
Then the orange, well, the two orange in front are going to be bollards, okay.
Oh, did you also mark the bollards and the poles for me?
Yes, I did.
Great.
The four orange ones.
Did you correct the existing note that cross out pole and put in bollards?
That I didn't do.
Get out.
You to get it right.
He's making up for the addition problem.
He came into the tie.
Draw.
He came into the tie. He was nervous. New tie. Look at them.
No, that's a tie with.
Oh, that tie. I went with this tie.
He's doing the Giants and the Brothers. Yeah. But it is soccer season. All these nil-nils. So yeah.
All right.
Okay. So the four ones indicated in orange around the new and its southern end, the existing parking areas, those would only be on motion sensors. After 10 p.m.
All the orange or just the four?
Those four. These two here are the bollard lighting, so those are exempt. Right, but you want those on at all.
So those are on all the time with the sign, right? Which makes sense because people want to come in the driveway. So then,
if I had another color, I would have made those.
That's what, right. So then, what?
Here.
What goes off?
Not a bad idea. Yellow is going to be the bollard lighting.
Not to prolong this, but just a little. Is the sign, I've got a sick dog or whatever, and I'm driving around at night, I don't know where it is. Is the sign on during all dark hours at this point in time? And should that also be
bathrooms, do you have a note that that'll stay on for that period, or is that shown on the...
I think that's already in the note, but we can add that as a note as well.
Whatever. There you go. All right.
One more sign question. The maximum color temperature?
Yellow highlighted first.
Oh. On the sign? Or
the sign. Sign. The sign.
The sign.
Thanks.
I don't know if that was Jim's comment, but I think we typically try to stick at
3,500 Kelvin.
He's got 3,000 Kelvin selection.
I thought I saw 3,000.
So somebody, what's the difference between 3,000 or 3,500 besides 500?
It, most people probably couldn't distinguish, but once you get to 3,500 to 4,000, it turns to white, from amber to whitish. Even 4,000.
Okay, so the lower, the more yellow. It's right. It's the temperature of the tungsten filament. So what do you guys want?
3,000 is fine.
Okay.
It's a warm light. It'll be fine.
Okay. So that's what you're proposing, right?
That's what we're proposing.
Right. Do anything. Okay.
So,
and then we got to get to the next stuff. You had a...
Yeah, no, no.
This question may be caught by the next stuff. In the report. Were there additional notes in the report?
1.3. Light trespass. That's what they're talking about.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so those are LED fixtures, so we believe that just in the aiming of it, we propose to go zero at the property line. There is some that are going... There, it is not zero right now, shown on the plan at the property of Lot 5.
Looking at the specification sheet for the fixture, would it make some sense? And what would the effect be if you added the backlight control option? So I think you won't be sure to get to zero if you did that.
Then we'll commit to that. I mean, you're committing to the zero.
You're basically committing to say whatever you, however you do it, act. I don't.
That's right. They got to comply with the order.
You're going to comply that it's zero at the property
means,
line.
Means and methods are up to them.
Right.
So it's not applicant should. It's going to be applicant shall. 1.4.
And we have no problem with that. That's just moving the fixture back another foot.
It's another one. Instead of the shoe, it's going to be shall. Okay.
Okay.
Who's up next? Why don't you pick the best for last, which is landscaping, so go to Tom's memo. Do you have anything in your memo?
I'll just get through it. I don't have much in the way of conditions, just identifying relief. I think we've jotted it all down.
Yeah, jotted it all
down. No need to prolong. I'm just skimming through. No new signage, obviously. I think you've answered all my questions for now. Let's get to
the now, the main event. This is the Jim Mazzucco November 4, 2022 landscaping memo.
And did you see
yes, and Mr. Cirillo, right, sent an email saying you're going to comply with everything.
I thought most of them, and we can go through it quickly, but I think most of it, let's...
Well, if you're going to comply with all of it...
We're going to comply with it. The only thing I would say is that the one portion of the letter indicates that we need a waiver.
Right.
We're accepting that. We're going to propose the evergreens near the... That's
what
parking area.
Comment 2 under landscape comments. Mm-hmm. Should the applicant seek a waiver, evergreen tree should be added.
So we're going to add the evergreens along the 10 parking spaces.
So the basis for the exception, I assume, is that the house on Lot 5 is no longer owned by others. The house on the property is now owned by the doctor.
Yes.
Since she owns the house, it would be impracticable to put a landscape screen. That's going to be their argument, right?
Here's the question I have. She owns it now.
Right.
I don't think that's a... I can't buy my neighbor's property, and I'm not going to give you the law. But
well, that's their argument. I'm not taking a position on it. I just wanted... That's their argument, correct?
What we're saying, I believe, is that we did propose some landscaping. We're adding some more landscaping, and that property is about 7 or 8 foot higher than the area that's going into the buffer. Therefore, we don't believe that it's form over function that we meet the design. We think we meet the intent of what the design standard states. And the 50 foot wouldn't give you any more, in our opinion, than what we're providing.
Well, we're proposing 12 ornamental evergreens, right?
Correct. We're going to add 12 ornamental evergreens along that.
What does the ordinance require? So they understand what the exception is for.
I believe it's a 50-foot planted buffer from a commercial to a residential. We only have 29 feet.
29-foot planted buffer rather than a 50-foot planted buffer, correct?
You know, my question to you would be that you're planting ornamental evergreens, you said?
I think his statement was ornamental or evergreens. We're
ornamental
saying evergreens.
Or evergreens. Yeah. Okay. And you're planning to plant evergreens.
Correct.
That grow to a height, given the height, the elevation change, that would probably grow to a height that would help provide a screen.
Correct.
He didn't say, Jim didn't say evergreen or ornamental. He said evergreens.
Right. Well, that makes more sense.
He says evergreen shall be added right to the east.
I thought I heard the testimony.
I don't remember saying ornamental. If I did, I correct myself.
That was me, my bad.
Can I make a point of reference? The reason that we did not do as extensive a buffer the first time, and that's probably in the record somewhere, the owner of the house at that time did not want those trees planted, and they requested the fence, which we put the fence up
that.
And planted fewer trees.
I remember that guy. He was right. I can't remember my phone number, but I remember.
They said they'd just taken a bunch of trees down so they could see the sunset, so they were not happy about the idea of the trees.
I mean, I hate to ask this question, but what do you plan to do with the property now that you own it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right.
On the top of the landscape.
If you merged it with the rest of the lot, you wouldn't have to do anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, here we go again.
Was that shown now for phase two? Was that shown as phase two for the first approval? Because that's what's encroaching into your buffer.
What's encroaching? We didn't hear that.
He's saying is the additional parking, was that part of the original phase two approval?
Because no, it is not.
So the new parking is the park.
Yes.
Because that appears what's approaching, correct?
Yes. Correct. That's why we need the design waiver.
I have one final question pertaining to the location of equipment for the addition. Will it all be roof mounted or ground mounted?
I believe it's going to be roof mounted. They're working on the design now, but that's my understanding.
So the screening will be taken care of.
The screening will meet the ordinance.
So hold on. You're here just for final approval. This is not just preliminary approval. This is preliminary and final site plan approval. So you gotta lock in. It's either gonna be roof or if it's gonna be on the ground, and you gotta say what.
We're saying it's roof. Yes.
Roof. Okay. Roof-mounted HVAC equipment. And it's going to be screened. Whatever the ordinance talks about, they're going to comply with it if there's any screening requirement for HVAC stuff on the roof.
You got to have a generator?
There was one other thing in the landscape report. There's a question about this. The center island, that was actually a sand filter. So that's part of the stormwater management system. It has since grown grass, and that's part of the landscape architect's report indicating, you know, that's not supposed to be maintained area. So we discussed that with Dr. Ross. That'll be maintained as a sand filter.
Right. And that's what his suggested condition is anyway.
Correct. other than that, we were going to comply with all the other technical requirements.
So, number six talks about parking on the south side being 16 feet spaces, only 15 are gridded in a row and was broken by landscape day on the island. So, for compliance, that means you're creating a landscape island?
I read the slide. No, I heard it. I heard it. No, it says, whatever reason, I thought it was the east side, but you might direct me. Or they would request the waivers. Or request the waivers. Right. 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 because of that.
So I think that you're requesting a waiver.
We're requesting a design waiver. Thank you for bringing that up.
Anything else?
That's all our testimony. Thank you.
So. A lot of changes or a lot of subject twos or conditions. I'm giving your hand a little chance to rest for a moment.
Yeah, I got them all. You don't really, if you want, I can go through them all, but I got them all, and eventually there will be a draft resolution which you can review.
Right.
I
took notes, and we do have the audio to go back to if we have to. But the challenge here is getting all these conditions in, and not having talked past each other. I don't think we did. This seems pretty reasonable. So based on that, I'm looking at the board here. Any other questions or comments?
The public, is there somebody
from the public?
You want,
it's your time. Your time has come.
Might as well, since you've been here.
Right. Can we have you introduce yourself?
My name is William Black. I live at 26 Southgate Drive in Clinton Township.
Okay, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the comments you're about to make will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I take it you support the application.
Yes, I do. I was here to observe the proceedings just in general, but as someone who's utilized this service on more than one occasion and know of many others who have too directly, it's an essential service for the region. Going to Red Bank would cause many people to make very poor decisions with respect to their pet care out of time, distance, cost, access, etc. So they are an essential part of our community, and I know anecdotally how much use has grown over the years since we moved in 12 years ago. So yes, I'm in favor of it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming out too. So anybody else on the board, any other
there are two exceptions. It's variance free. There's two landscape exceptions. If the board was in favor of granting those two exceptions, then, and if the board imposed the plan change conditions, then the application would comply with all the other ordinances. And I don't have to tell you what to do.
Yeah. So, based on that pretty good discussion and whatnot.
Oh, good point. Larry says, what about the septic and
either the transformer or the water tank.
fire tank and the
fire cylinder. Tank.
Yeah. So those would require C variances, and I assume the applicant's argument is going to be a C1 hardship variance because the septic system's already there. You're just going to expand it. The transformer, kind of, you're at the will of the utility company, and the fire tank, why does the fire tank have to be...
Well, it has to be increased in size because of the addition.
Right.
But like, where the transformer has to go on the south side. Is that the south side? I mean, I'm asking for testimony. In other words...
Yeah, so it's existing electrical service, so it's coming in on the south side, so it only could be on that side.
Yeah, but on that one, the transformer, you could comply, because...
I think we will comply, yes.
So that's what, I'm just trying not to leave a wide open, comply unless you really can't.
Right. Expanding the septic, expanding the fire tank, you have two existing things. But on the transformer, you're going to grant the variance, and you don't even know
where
to
put it.
Right.
There's a lot of room here in the building, the setback line.
Right.
The potential.
Correct. Yeah.
But even if you showed me that setback line, even for the water tank potentially, but
the water tank's on the other side.
No, the water tank is no room.
Where is the water tank?
It's on the south side where the new traditional parking is.
Yes, it's right last night.
There's
It's hard to see it.
Two landscaping exceptions. Two C1 setback variances for the septic expansion and the fire tank expansion. And the only other thing is going back to this resolution 2006-16. Initial, the phase two condition, again, that's been extended to November 2. Now they have this, presumably they're going to have this other approval. That condition said you have, once you have final site plan approval, you have 2 years to apply for and obtain a zoning permit and a construction permit, and 2 years to complete the construction and get a CO. So unless you want something different, that will be carried right over into here. Are your plans to do this immediately or within?
As soon as I can.
Okay, so that should be fine. Just leave it like it is.
Right, that should.
Okay.
Okay, so is there a motion to grant
two landscape exceptions and the two C1 setback variances due under the hardship rubric? And then, if you grant all that, to grant amended preliminary and final setback. Subject to all the conditions that we discussed, we have in the notes or in the record, blah, blah, blah.
So the hours of operation are...
John, real quick, the bank parking, if they were to implement that, is that just a written letter to the engineer's office?
Now, I have a condition that deals with that.
Your standard...
The standard condition. It gives, if they want to do it, they have to ask. If the zoning officer says there's a problem, then the zoning officer can tell them they have to do it. If they disagree with the zoning officer, they can come back to the board and plead their case.
And there's no time frame on that?
Nope.
Sorry, Bill.
So the revised hours of operation are just a revised condition?
That's right.
All right.
Okay.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mr. Aversa?
Yes.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgin?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sine?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That's the trust.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, there wasn't it.
Thank you.
Need a hand with anything?
Oh, this is
Okay.
All right. So we have voucher. Larry. Larry. Thank you all. Good night.
Good luck.
Thanks, Larry. You can go.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Hope you feel better.
Oh, don't say that. Dead face. Yeah.
No, that's funny. I like it.
John, I have to show you the pictures.
You don't want to look.
Yeah, I sent some photos. I'm
interested. Thanks. Glad you're
not. He's in my room.
Oh. All right. Thanks, Larry. Thanks. You can go.
Well,
have a good holiday. We, vouchers. So I've reviewed them. There's been a few. There was one in there that was for Board of Adjustment. That's not ours. You know.
And then the others are there are some others in there that aren't normally, but I think ought to be because they're escrow charges from our township attorney for planning board.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If
I just think that they have to be getting to us from the issue.
No, they haven't been, and that's why I was a little confused. And then, you know, Kevin had asked about it, so I said, well, I'm just going to put them in. And I actually went and talked to Christine today, and she told me that she had...
I saw him go after something else, and she asked me about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that it says for escrow, and we know it's for escrow and not for escrow. Because typically
right.
We get them, and it says the applicant has been informed,
okay.
And those
I
didn't.
Think
so.
The two of them say it for escrow.
But they do, but they don't say that the applicant has been informed.
Well, they don't. They're going to make sure the applicant's been informed.
That was my thing. Is I think it's good to have them go. If they're escrow, they should go to escrow. Let's do it, but let's just...
Why?
Wait.
So let's hold off.
Right.
A copy of that goes to the applicant and goes into the case from here. The professional should include that language on their invoice.
No, she
doesn't. She might not have realized
right.
That it was going to escrow.
Right.
Well, no, but it says escrow.
Well, that's the least of the performance escrow. Is it really the charge of the least of the performance escrow?
Can we approve them? And then if you do that, if you put that in a form, and then you can pay. Because we're not really the...
Approve them
subject to making sure you follow the right compliance that's needed to inform. That's all.
Okay.
All right, so subject to that whole big accounting discussion, thank you very much. I'll make the motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Hersha?
Yes.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
You want those rolled or folded? You prefer that they be folded, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
because I have to put them in the file.
Yeah. Folded. And I'm going to kill you. They're very nice looking at jitters.
Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Thank you.
All right. Anything? We got any reports real quick before we...
some personnel moves. We have the fire marshal's office. I kind of cringe when we talk about the fire marshal's report because there's two vacancies in the fire marshal's office, including the fire marshal, who's recently
So that would explain that.
We have jobs hosting up for public works. Leaf collection seems to be very, very well.
My observation is it is. I know some of the complainers out there, but this year they were out early and often, and I think they've really kept up with it.
Well, and we did add a couple of seasonal staff to help, and this year we had to make sure that all the
machines were up. This is not a complaint, but there's probably about four pump truckloads at all.
They're working this week, and they're just off the vermin dump. So I would imagine that once they get through, right on the weekend, they're starting to move through.
Whatever, they're up in that area.
Doing the road vacation ordinance, not road vacation, road moratorium, a road opening moratorium, so that you can't repave it. I don't want to touch it. Like, how many years?
5 years.
If you touch it in 5 years, get it repaved. That's property for those who are interested. That's on the corner of Gray Rock and Sandy. Did a pretty good cleanup on it if you go back to the property. We're closing on a property at Fort Jericho. And I can't expect to reclaim our costs and get back on the tax roll to move it. Fort Jericho.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The property is about $57,000 in arrears on their taxes. And it's probably only worth $6,000. And the neighbor wants it. So we'll foreclose on it, sell it to him. And that was Jericho. And we got it granted for about $280,000 for the regional road.
Wow. Oh, good. We like grants.
Can you repeat that? You got a grant for what?
$280,000 for regional road. Yeah.
Who's your grant writer?
Larry did that.
That's the biggest one.
That's DOT grants. That's the
Yeah.
Or not,
yeah. We normally get 150 or 60, so that's a nice one.
You should see the cost on that road.
Yeah, it's
a nice one.
That road's a nightmare.
Percentage
to mention a couple of those giant dead trees.
Are we doing all of regional? Or?
Yeah, that's an estimate for the entirety of regional. We had planned to do a good chunk of Petticoat this year, both the rebuild that we got a grant for last year and some mill and pave. The mill and pave slipped because the contractor couldn't get out when we wanted him to, and it'll fall into next year, as well a piece of Allerton, a piece that never got done. And Petticoat, Larry and company just finished all the DOT permits and everything, because it intersects 22 there. So we'll expect to go out to bid on that probably in March or so.
Are you having to flare it out at 22 at all? That writing and turning thing?
Yes, but it's convoluted and cumbersome, and we felt we could do it at a later date.
Okay.
Good.
That's it.
Good. Good. Anything from ordinance subcommittee?
So moving along those ones. Hopefully we'll get together next Monday morning to regroup on some stuff. I talked to Mr. Behrens and Mr. Higgins as well.
Oh, good.
Might you want to be a prospective member of work for that? No, but I don't see why you can't have it.
It's a subcommittee meeting.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean. It's your time. Yeah. Of course. Yes, I will.
What about environmental sub? Anything from environmental?
Yeah, a couple things. Amy updated that they put up educational signs on the Acres site. There was mention of the fact that they got confirmation the Hunterdon County Environmental Science, Environmental Sustainability Engineering Academy to conduct the study and get test strips to test the effects of road salt on fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, there's another meeting this Thursday. It's the last one is canceled, so we shall see what comes of that.
Good. Historic, anybody here from Historic?
No, that's Kate.
That's Kate there. Okay. All right.
Although I did see inquiries or questions just on social media and whatnot about something.
Oh, the one at Grey Rock? Yeah, I think they're clean. Yeah, town's cleaning it up.
It would be a great shame if that club was on
the It would, but that building is rotten. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some snide reports made about condemnation through the left.
Yeah, demolition, they like to say, but that's that was the current owner who just...
I don't know.
The floor is flexed, and they were off level by a good amount when we moved here in 1988.
Oh, it's just gotten so bad.
The interior was not good then.
Did you ever do anything to ensure or prevent against that happening?
It's
checking the properties and sort of saying after a few years, you know, what you're doing is tantamount.
Can't force people to do it.
Private property, we always run into that. Yeah. How do you, I don't know.
Terrible.
I know.
Because you can't stop an outcome that you can already foresee then.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the moral hazard, right?
Yep.
Well, if it's on the Federal Register or some such thing, then you look in New York
only
City.
Only if it's a privately owned.
Publicly owned.
Yeah.
How does New York City get away with these?
They have super duper regulations.
Yeah,
they have different laws.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And there's some even in some of these towns that can, but we've never gone to level.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very difficult level to get to.
Westfield has it.
I know, and you can't change the front. You can't. So
McDonald's can't use their regular sign in Westfield.
Right.
But you guys have never wanted to go to
just,
that extreme.
Right.
So it's there's pluses and minuses of
its preservation.
Right.
Yeah. And it amazes me that out here there are certain people who are super ultra libertarian who also complain about not being able to force property owners
they do.
To preserve their houses.
Yeah, that's contrary to libertarian.
I know.
But I had them come in here and complain, but when it's their neighbor, funny how they get a different religion.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they complain about the taxes, but don't want to cut any services.
Right.
or
they wanted pipelines until that pipeline came right by their property.
If you want to run on it, I know a guy that can help you.
I don't want to run on anything. I'm just saying it's everybody complains about the taxes and then everyone says but don't cut any of my services.
All right.
We're still paying these two gentlemen. You should probably
let's go. Yeah. All right.
I actually have to stick around and talk to the three of you.
Yeah.
Three of
you? Uh-huh. Oh, all right. Sure.
Anything else? If not, I'll let you go on that one. If not,
I figured that's what it
was. Is there a
motion to adjourn?
Thank you. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
No.
Have a good holiday, everybody. That was it for the year, right?
No, on the adjournment.
You get to stay.
Mark the
minute. Bear allowed us to stay.
In perfect duty.
How long has he been with you?
I don't know. It should be.
Have a happy holiday Christmas.
Thank you, yes.
See your house all back there? Take care. Mr. Aversa, any Aversa relations in Bergen County?